Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. Maureen, welcome back.
Hello.
Good to have you here. This month, Maureen returns with Aaron Prunty, who is the city administrator of Eagle Point. The city maintains a large archive of historical documents and artifacts and recently went through a major process of digitizing. Aaron Prunty, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Maureen, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. So set us out just a general picture of what goes on in Eagle Point. It sounds like the city is fairly inclined toward preserving its history.
I think Eagle Point has always been bent on that, or had that that focus, at least as long as I've known. Eagle Point has what I consider to be a rich history, and we have journals dating from the 1800s. So I think people that have lived in this area have have felt a desire or a need to keep track.
Interesting. So it helps to when you live in a community where people actually keep some semblance of records about it.
Absolutely. And in my office, I've got journals from the 1800s, and to be able to open up something like that and take a look at a day in the life of is really interesting.
Talk about the city's direct involvement in historical preservation. The city actually owns the museum, right?
That's correct. The city owns the museum. Due to COVID, the museum is currently closed, but typically has volunteer staff, and it's one of our treasures, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of stuff is contained in the Eagle Point Museum?
My goodness. When it opens, I would encourage everyone to come by and take a look. There are things from, I couldn't begin to describe.
There's an old bank vault from the downtown bank that's now repurposed into other uses. There's an old telephone switchboard from the first telephone system there. An old-time resident, Helen Wolgamott, has dedicated most of her life and much of her family's history to that museum. It's just a remarkable place.
Now, you have interviewed Helen Wolgamott at some point, haven't you, Maureen?
I have. I've talked to her many times and brought her chocolate cake and ice cream on her birthday in February, though I couldn't see her at the time.
Sure. And what did you find out about her drive and whether she was inspired by the community or if it goes the other way around in what it appears to be Eagle Point's determination to preserve its history?
I'm not quite sure what it is, but I think that there are a lot of older, longtime residents in Eagle Point that have just remained connected in working through some of the history and the digitization that we accomplished over this last year. So many residents came out and talked to me about their mothers, about their fathers. Just last week, Llewellyn Peachy's descendant called and wanted access to some of the content and was so pleased to see the material just readily available to him. Eagle Point is just special, and there's that whole corridor of history down there. Aaron, can you talk about that heritage corridor for us?
Well, we do have a number of buildings that have come from, like Camp White, for example. So we have, like you say, a corridor basically of historic buildings. We've got a historic mill. We've always kind of valued the mill as kind of an anchor in the community, I guess you could say. We have just I think you kind of put it that way, that we've got a lot of people in the community that have been here for a long time, or their families have been here for a long time, and there's just a sense of, history, I guess.
There's the Antelope Bridge there, too, that's amazing, and some of the stuff that we collected with this project, Aaron, is the video of moving the Antelope Bridge to its current location. It's just and I actually talked to the engineers who worked on the project. It was just an awesome, extravagant, huge event and experience.
That was in the mid-'80s, wasn't it?
Corner is, you know, I think everybody knows it. You know, everybody's been to the covered bridge. Everybody's been to the mill. You know, we've
the stone house across the way.
Exactly. You know, our ice house and whatnot. I shouldn't say our ice house, the ice house, but in any event, we do have some very interesting things to see in Eagle Point that, you know, that I think the community has kind of taken those things and those have become part of everybody's life in a sense. You know, I've only lived in the community for a little less than 20 years, but, you know, walking my kids down to the mill or to see the ice house, you know, the covered bridge, I don't know that anybody in town hasn't walked across that covered bridge, you know.
Right.
Interesting, too, because that's one of a couple of things that got moved, because I understand the museum itself was moved from another site, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
Maureen, I'm not sure.
That's true. It was a school, and I'm not sure exactly where it was, but it was moved and then expanded a little bit and ramp put on. Some parts of it are a little bit rickety under the foot. But speaking of architecture, one of the really fascinating things about all of Jackson County and many of its historic districts, there's been an architectural survey, actually two architectural surveys, one of them by Carol Barrett in 1990, and she interviewed many residents in the late 80s and developed this building-by-building survey for the Historic Register. And Aaron, I wonder, how did that 2020 George Kramer survey come about? What was the purpose of that?
You know, that was done before I started here as the city administrator, but it's my understanding that there was just a sense that we needed to catalog and make sure that we had a formal representation of historic buildings in Eagle Point. And so our community development director worked with Kramer to put that together. And, you know, I think it's just something that a lot of the community supports and moves forward this idea of, you know, maintaining our history here. And I think that was community driven and brought to the city, you know, probably through one of our subcommittees.
Well, this is Stories of Southern Oregon on the Jefferson Exchange. Aaron Prunty is the Eagle Point City Administrator. We're learning about the ways in which the city of Eagle Point is directly involved in historic preservation, which is popular in the community. Maureen Flanagan-Battistella, the Curator of Stories of Southern Oregon, back with us as well. If you have questions or comments, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Aaron, how much of the prehistory of Eagle Point, the pre-white settlement, history is preserved as well?
You know, that's something that, as a matter of fact, we have worked with the Butte Creek Mill Foundation towards their redevelopment or reopening of the mill, and that's something that is going to be a part of that development, is having a kind of a visitor's center or what would be a better term for it, an educational center, and it should be something that includes some of that pre-white settlement information. You know, I don't personally have a lot of knowledge about that, except that when Eagle Point kind of came on the map in the mid-1850s, it's my understanding that it became a trading center, and it included, you know, trading with the Native Americans, and a place where the Native Americans could come and obtain, you know, red beans and flour and things like that, things that they would use, you know, to get them through the winter and things like that.
We've mentioned in passing a couple times the mill. So this is the historic Butte Creek Mill, which is being rebuilt after it burned down. Was that 2015 it burned down on Christmas Day?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And what's the status of it? It was due to open sometime last year, but of course, you know, things got slowed in a lot of places.
Yeah, and we have a pretty good working relationship with the foundation, the city does, and, you know, they're continually making progress toward that. But due to, you know, COVID and some other things, that has slowed. It's our understanding or our hope that the mill will be open in 2021, and there will be an interpretive center, educational, you know, center or material. Maureen, if you have any additional information.
I was surprised, and I have to admit a little alarmed when I read about the water right issue. How did that happen? How did that kind of come about?
Well, that's probably a better question for the foundation, but it's my understanding that the water rights were owned by an individual, and the foundation, you know, obtained the mill, and there was kind of a disconnect. But my understanding is that there has been some constant work toward securing some amount of water rights that would allow that mill to continue to operate, you know, as a water-powered mill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see that Bob Russell himself actually owns the water rights.
That's my understanding.
Okay, and that was the original owner of the mill, or the recent owner of the mill when it burned down. So,
correct.
All right, so that's the physical history. We haven't even talked about the digitizing yet. So, Maureen, since you're familiar with digital archives, why don't you start us off with how extensive a process this is in any place that does it?
Well, it's not for those who have short attention spans, I guess I have to admit, and it's also not for someone who has dirty hands. It takes an enormous amount of time and patience in order to handle historic documents carefully and photographs carefully. In this collection, it was a remarkable assortment of audio cassettes, about 30 oral histories of early residents that really reached back to that early time that Aaron mentioned when the town was a trading post and Native people would come to the community to trade. The other fascinating piece of this collection, and it's I've been a little bit delayed in working on it because of COVID, but it's James Fryer's journals, and that's one thing that Aaron referred to. James Fryer was an early agriculturalist. He had a trading post and also orchards. And from 1867 through 1912, he kept a diary, handwritten diary. And those diaries are in the collections in personal hands, but loaned to the city. And next month, when things sort of lift again, I'll be back out in Eagle Point digitizing that journal page by page. And we'll have that up on the web.
What kind of gadget do you just do a flatbed scanner for this sort of thing?
No. You can't use a flatbed scanner with, first of all, bound documents.
Oh, because they bend them, yeah.
Exactly. They'll bend and crack. So there's a device that's an overhead scanner that's really made for books. So it's a high-resolution overhead camera with a cradle and side lights that allow the scanning from an overhead position. I believe that the technology was sort of developed by Google when Google was going through its book digitization project, because you can scan a page in just a second.
Wow. So, but nobody has to hold it then? You're not going to have Maureen's fingers on all these pages?
No, no. There's some optical character recognition that excludes the frame of the cradle from the image itself. And then there is software that cleans up the image and creates an optical character recognition so that you can actually search the PDF by keyword. And it's a remarkable piece of equipment.
Bob, you were able to, rather Aaron, you were able to get a fair amount of grant help, I understand, to be able to do the digitizing.
Yeah,
we did.
Go ahead, Maureen. Yeah, sure enough.
We did. We got two different grants. One from the Jackson County Cultural Coalition that came in a little under our request, so we had to modify some of our expectations. And then we also got a grant from the Association of College and Research Libraries, Oregon chapter, to develop some curriculum and put this material into the schools. And so we have shared a lot of this material with the schools. COVID kind of hit at the same time, so we've been a little bit delayed there as well. But the school now has microphones and tripods and software in order to create oral histories of their community and work that into the classroom. So we're quite pleased with that partnership.
Wow, this is a real history heavy town, isn't it, Aaron?
It absolutely is. You betcha.
And so, what are the projections, if any, for when you might be able to reopen the museum in Eagle Point?
We'll reopen the museum as soon as we're able. You know, we're working, you know, under the restraints or restrictions everyone else is related to COVID. But as soon as we are able to open the museum will be open. We have people that are excited and ready to get back in there, so as soon as we can.
So, Maureen, is this digitizing going to be available through the Southern Oregon Digital Archive or through the Eagle Point Museum or both?
All of the material that we've digitized is actually on the City of Eagle Point website. That's how committed the City of Eagle Point is to its own heritage. So at the City of Eagle Point's website, which is cityofeaglepoint.org, there's a drop-down for the museum, and all of that content is linked from that museum.
Do you find, Maureen, in some cases that not every place is as lucky as Eagle Point to have a James Fryer, somebody who kept such a daily diary for so long, and they're just kind of trying to cover holes in their history?
I think that's probably I think every town has this collection of unique history. I think every single town does. It may not be as rich or as readily available as here in Eagle Point. One of the amazing things about this project was, again, talking with people who are still around and still alive. This one guy, Jim Gunther from Virginia, called me up about the Given Ranch, which is part of the old Medford Elks campground, which is very much in everyone's minds and history here. And so there are photographs and materials related to the Given Ranch, which is a big part of that whole area on the other side of that river. And related to that, found a whole collection from Kay Atwood over in the Esota Library, so at SOU, the Esota Collection, that's related to Jim Gunther and the Given Ranch as well.
Well, all kinds of stuff there popping out of the woodwork. All right,
connections.
Then. Yeah.
Connections.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to peruse the Eagle Point stuff online that did not even realize that Highway 62 had not been paved until 1945.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was some tough trips to the Upper Road Country in those days. That does it for this edition of Stories of Southern Oregon. Maureen Flanagan Battistella compiles the stories and brings them to us. And we've been visiting with Aaron Prunty, the Eagle Point City Administrator. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And Maureen, as always, thank you for being part of this.
Great to see you. Thank you so much,
Jeff.